Good morning, Ventura Church of Christ. Oh, has been a while. I have been here before. Not my first rodeo. It's good to be with you. Really good. I really thank the elders and the search committee members who gave us the invite, and it's good to be among you. Really appreciate the hospitality of the Tabers, the Fowlers, who I think took us to their place. I mean, it's actually technically called Casa de Soria, but I think it is their place because from what I understand, they practically live there. But that was good, and especially appreciate the Olivers' hospitality under really dire circumstances and letting us use the house and finish our dinner last night and fellowship time. And appreciated that very much. And God bless all of the Olivers and many mixed emotions. But God be with you all and give you His comfort. The more we are comforted by Him, the more we are enabled to comfort one another, as 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us. But it's so good to be with all of you. As I look out, I see a number of familiar faces and, you know, people I've known for a long time. I see some faces of people I've just met. I see faces I have no clue, okay? So, and a couple I'm concerned about, but that's okay. That, you know, but I'll tell you what I really see is I see you all sitting here today. I see my family. The family of Jesus Christ, and it's good to be among family, even brothers and sisters that I haven't even met yet. It's really good. We come from a world called Florida, strange place, and if you ever want to live there, there are two things you have to know if you want to live in Florida. And I mean, I'm not saying these are absolutely essentials, but the first Sunday, I was in Gainesville. I mentioned, I'm so happy, you know, to be here. It's my first time living in the South. Wrong. I got jumped on. I got jumped on by a bunch of people. They said, Florida is not the South. And I said, okay, so where's the South? And they said, is it further? So if I go down Orlando, Miami, is that South? No, that's even further away from the South than you are now. So I'm thinking geographically here, very confused. And I said, so where's the South? And they said, up north. So I'll tell you, I'm glad to be here in Southern California where you guys know it's Southern, you know it's South, and it may become two states or three states, but at least we know where we are, right? So I'm glad to have my compass set again where in points up, because in Florida, who knows? Now, the second thing you need to know to live in Gainesville is this. This is called the Chomp. University of Florida, Florida Gators, and we did finish number 7 in football. We've got to get past those other 6 teams, and it ain't going to be easy. But, you know, and this is the Chomp. This is good, okay? Understand, this is good. This is the Chop. This is evil. Offensive, bad. That's Florida State Seminoles, okay? Sorry if I offend anybody, but, you know, we're a long way from there, but, you know, you still got to know those things. So the Chomp and the Chomp. And it helps to say y'all once in a while, which I try not to do, you know, very often, because we all know that the second person plural pronoun for the English language, at least in California and in most civilized parts of the world, is you guys, right? Are we there? And that's how I'm going to address everybody. Hey, we're going to be looking at scriptures from Joshua chapter 1. I want to get right into that. And my message is called, let me just get my little remote. Men love holding the remote. Let's see if it works now. Okay. Are we advancing? Come on. Okay. Is it on? Oh, these things. I just love modern technology. All right, somebody give me a hand here. Thank you. Aha. Okay. Okay, so, okay, wait. Yeah, I had that one. Okay, that's the one I did. Okay. All right. Keys to a... Yeah. Again, I thought it was the south button. I wasn't sure where the north button was. Okay, geographically confused here. I was going to turn it upside down. Keys to a successful transition is what I've chosen as the topic today. And the reason for this message is pretty obvious. I'll say it. Y'all are in transition. Okay? The Ventura Church of Christ is in a transition, right? And the Howell family, we also, our family is in transition as well. And so it's a good time to talk about transitions. And when I found, you know, this particular scripture, a scripture many of us hold very dear, it's a beautiful motivational passage. I was thinking it's especially appropriate because this nation, Israel, was also in a transition, right? And so it's good for us to look and see, okay, what was going to make it work for them? What was going to give them a successful and prosperous transition? And as Brother Vern read that passage, the words that just jumped off the page to me as I was reading this are prosperous and successful. Those are words that get our attention. We want to be prosperous and successful. But we want to be those things in the way God defines them, right? Not what we think of as successful and prosperous, but God's word, God's message. Now, I'm going to do, you know, basic preaching. I'm going to tell you the secret of basic preaching, okay? Basically, what you do is, A, you tell them what you're going to tell them when you get up to preach, okay? So if any of you want to try this sometime, go ahead. Secondly, then you tell them. And third, you tell them what you told them, okay? Don't sound so enthused. Wow, I can see you're all excited, riveted on the edge of your seats. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. I have 4 points. Go, 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 and go. All right? Those are the points. Again, don't be so excited, you know? The good stuff's still coming, so don't, you know, don't get so excited now. And in this passage, as we go to Joshua chapter 1, and I would like you to do something here. Can we all stand and read these scriptures together? Would that be okay? This is God's word. This is God's word. You know, when Ezra opened God's word, he opened the scroll and he started reading the law, all the people rose. And you know, sometimes we love to hear somebody clever talk or a comedian talk or somebody talk and we just laugh and we cry or whatever. The people move us, words move us. But when God's word is spoken, that's us listening to God. And I love that Ezra started reading the word and everybody rose in honor of the God who was speaking. And so let's read this together and listen as you read. And try to stay up. Okay. We'll have a brief prayer after the reading. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan and all this people into the land that I am giving to you, in the people of Israel. I'm trying to stay up. Okay, hold on. Hang on. You're going too fast. Okay. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Just bow for a moment. Father, as we look at your word today, may we honor you by listening. May we honor you even more, Father, by reflecting upon it, taking it in, and then taking it on and doing something, Father, with this message. Father, we know that you reveal in your word, even though this was a particular situation, that you reveal in your word, Father, principles and dynamics that, if applied, will achieve those same promises that you make here. Father, bless this congregation. Bless us, Father, as we seek successful transitions in life. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I know you were worried there. You thought I was going to make you stand for the whole message, didn't you? All right. Israel had spent 38 years essentially going in circles. It took them 3 months to get to Mount Sinai. They spent a year there as Moses was receiving laws and breaking them and then getting them again. And they spent a year at Mount Sinai. Then they left Mount Sinai, and it took them several months, and they got to Kadesh Barnea. And that is where they were going to approach the land. They were ready for the invasion. Except, you know what happened? Jim referenced it this morning, that 10 of the spies kind of got cold feet and said, no, we can't. And 2 of the spies said, yes, we can. And guess what? The 10 overruled the 2 because the 10 got the sympathies of the whole congregation of Israel. And as a result, they were given a 40-year sentence retroactive to when they left Egypt. So 38 more years. Until all that generation had died. Very sad. The first go command, if you look at this carefully, is he says, now therefore arise and cross, go over this Jordan. You've got to go forward. You've got to go forward. Israel had been wandering, you might say, in a sense, going in circles. God was leading them, and it was purposeful leading. God was providing for them, but they were not progressing. And now it was time to progress. Now it was time to cross the Jordan, to get into the land, to take what God had given them. You know, I think sometimes we want to be handed things by God, blessed by God, and we don't even want to take it. If somebody gave you a check for $1 million, and they said, all you have to do is go cash it. What? Really? I have to do something? You know? It's like, you know, when you get a plate full of crab legs. Man, it's a lot of work. Well, it's a lot of work to eat. Here's a free crab. Oh, you mean I have to crack it and eat it myself? There are things in life, there are gifts that we get that we have to take, right? I'm not talking about stealing them. I'm saying we've got to take what God gives. There are so many promises out there that we don't claim. We just simply don't take them. Sometimes we have to know how to take them. Well, Israel, in this case, was sort of in a holding pattern, like our plane over LAX. In a holding pattern, we were in the fog. Well, they were kind of in the fog in a holding pattern until it was, now it's time to land. They had the same leader for 40 years. And they were living in the same desert land for those 40 years. Now it was time for a new leader, Joshua, and a new vocation, a new approach to life. There's a change of direction. Now it's forward. And there was a change of lifestyle, a change of occupation. They were no longer wanderers, no longer pilgrims. Now they're going to be warriors. They're going out to take what God had given them. And I just wonder sometimes if we don't spend too much time looking back. Okay? Somebody motioned to me, how big is a rear view mirror in a normal car? How big? Somebody show me. Okay, I see our guy in the booth here. He says about this big. Okay, guy in the booth, what's your name?
Alex.
Now show me how big a windshield is of a car. Okay, now he's going like this. Okay, some cars it's only like this too, but all depends on the car. Point is, cars are designed with a larger windshield than a rearview mirror, right? Is that a hint? Don't look back too much. We need to glance back once in a while, but you can't drive while you're looking backwards. Jesus said, no one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It just doesn't work. You can't go forward while you're looking back. Remember this number? Lot's wife running, looking back. This is probably what it looked like. Pillar of salt. I love the Luke 17, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. There is where three words speak volumes. Don't look back. Paul said that, this one thing I do, I'm not there yet, I'm not perfect yet, I haven't arrived yet, I'm on a journey, I'm saved and I'm on a journey, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And I see some faces in the audience today. We have a past. We have a past. It's cool. I mean, that's what life is built on. But I'm not here because I have a past with some of you. We're here to explore the future. Amen? We're here to look forward and see what God has in store for us. I know we remember certain things fondly, and we remember, oh, the church used to be like this, and we did all this, and we were this size, and we, we need to remember that the best days for the church are ahead, not behind. Amen? And if the best days are ahead, that's where we need to go forward so we don't miss them. Because by looking back, we miss the best of what is yet to come. We've got to be motivated to go forward. And the bottom line here is that God will give new territory if we will go forward and take it. Do you know that Ventura belongs to the Lord? California belongs to the Lord. No matter what anybody says, the United States belongs to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and everything, everyone in it. Belongs to the Lord. We are here to take it for Him. And it's a very different kind of conquest, isn't it? A very different kind. God will give us. He said, every place the sole of your foot will tread, I give it to you. Imagine. Okay, so, they give you a lot of land. Oh. They give you a lot of land when you're in Florida. I mean, they give you big lots. They want to give you an acre, 2 acres. Of course, give away that swamp land. Who wants it? People say, I have, hey, I've got some swamp land in Florida to sell you. I do. I do. I own swamp land in Florida. The little rain is, and the water starts creeping up. The water tables are high there. Nobody has basements. They would be swimming pools. It doesn't work. Imagine just stepping and that enlarges your territory. And you step again and that enlarges your territory. Everywhere we set our foot, every neighborhood where you live belongs to the Lord. We're just not taking it. And I'm not saying this is easy, by the way. Sometimes we just don't step out. Sometimes we don't trust that this is still the power of God unto salvation. This is still the power. It's not my clever words. It's not my clever apologetics. It is the truth of God that breaks down barriers and destroys every argument that's set up against the knowledge of God. We say, well, yeah, Rich, you're right, but you've been in Florida too long. Things are kind of changing in California, if you haven't noticed. Oh, I've noticed, all right, and they're changing. I live in a city of 175,000 people, with 75,000 of them college students, okay? And it's a very similar culture in many ways. But that's not the point. The point is this is still the power because it's God behind it. It's God doing it, still the power. Okay, let's go on. Okay, I'm gonna keep making you do this, okay? This is good. You need to work up an appetite for the potluck. So stand up, please. I know, I can be difficult. And I will try to stay up this time. You guys were way ahead of me last time. Okay. All right. Let's read God's Word. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You may be seated. I'll just tell you right now, we're going to go and we're going to go with God. You go forward and you go forward with God. See, a lot of people think that progress means, oh, we're evolving about this and we're evolving about that. And we've got, you know, new gender pronouns and we're doing this and we're doing that. And we're making the world a better place. It's only when we go with God that we're going the right kind of forward, okay? We've got to be, if you're not on the track, a train may go forward, it won't go far until you're on the track. We've got to get on track with God. Jim spoke about relationships and our relationship with God this morning. We've got to be on track and be right with God and go with God. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. And, you know, Israel thought they had a secret weapon. They had the Ark of the Covenant, and they were going against the Philistines, and they took the Ark of the Covenant, their secret weapon. This was their bomb and you know, their missile, their, you know, intergalactic missile, and they took it with them, thinking that this made them invincible. And the Philistines beat them. They beat him. And they took it. Served Israel right. Forgetting that the only special thing about their nation was the God they served. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? What great nation? That's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. A God so near, that's what makes it special, that He's near to us whenever we call on Him. There's no other nation like it. What great nation is there that has laws and statutes so righteous as all this law, which my servant gives you this day? I mean, that is the power. That is the secret weapon. And what an astounding promise. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Another astounding promise. No man shall be able to stand against you. And I can't help but jump to the New Testament when I hear statements like that, because these statements are used in the New Testament as well. If God is for us, who is against us? The point is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we have against us if God is for us. And a shame that those 10 spies didn't realize that. 2 spies did. Go with God. Israel's big mistake is that they were all poised after 2 years in the wilderness, they were all poised to go into the promised land, and they chickened out. Bottom line. They wouldn't go with God. They wouldn't take what God had given them. But you know what? They made a bigger mistake. After God pronounced the 40-year sentence on them, then they said, okay, we'll muster and we'll go. Now they're going without God. Another big mistake, even bigger. Not going with God is bad. Trying to go without God is disastrous. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But Paul said, I can do most things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that what he said? All things. Thank you for correcting me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. And how true those promises are. Point here is that God will be with us wherever we go when we go for him. Get that now? When we go for him, we're taking on his cause, marching forward for his kingdom. Taking his kingdom and marching forward for his kingdom is reaching out and winning people one by one to Jesus. Okay, let's go to number 3. You know what You know the drill, right? Please stand. Now, if I had a lesson of 30 passages, you guys would be getting a good workout here. But I'll tell you, what I'm interested in is not a physical workout this morning, but it is a spiritual one. And I hope these words will really sink into our hearts. I pray that we will all be fertile soil today. Let's read. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then now from the Israelites, what did they say to Joshua? Be strong, only be strong and courageous. What did Moses say to him in Deuteronomy 31? After, you know, God had already told him this, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. Do not fear or be dismayed. Something not to do and something to do. A negative command and a positive command. And if you notice, he says, I've commanded it. I've commanded you. You may be seated. Go boldly. Go forward, go with God, and go boldly. What do they say? Go big or go home? Okay. Go boldly. Be strong and courageous. The word courage comes from the Latin cor. Those who speak Spanish, corazón. Corazón, courage, heart. Courage is heart. When we say, so we do not lose heart, when Paul said that, he was saying, so we don't lose courage. And some translations use the word courage. Heart, courage. I have no heart for this anymore. That means we've given up. We can't do that. Be strong and courageous. It takes courage. So this is not a suggestion. I mean, it sounds a little like, you know, the Star Trek prologue, doesn't it? You know, boldly go. Well, this was boldly go where no people of God had gone before. And, you know, we live on this is the end of the earth. I've had the opportunity to live at the ends of the earth. Humboldt County, California, Santa Cruz, born there. Humboldt County, I lived my first 17 years 1 mile or less from the ocean. And then I got landlocked in a couple of places I lived. But Argentina, talk about the ends of the earth, take a globe and try to find it. It's so far down there, it's farther than Australia, it's farther than Tasmania. It's the furthest south country in the world along with Chile. And it's at the bottom, okay? It's at the ends of the earth, Florida. It's the thumb that sticks down and you wonder why it's still not underwater. It's supposed to be, according to timetables. But, you know, it's not. But it's at the ends of the earth, and California is definitely the ends. I guess I've always liked living on the edge. And apparently you guys do too. But go boldly, be strong, be courageous. Back to Kadesh Barnea, where they had a chance to take the land after 2 years. After 2 years, they could have enjoyed its fruits, enjoyed that land of milk and honey, enjoyed the prosperity that God had promised them, and the rest from generations of futility and slavery. And they could have been there. It could have all been theirs. But let's see. Jim, you know aviation, right? I saw books on aviation. I know nothing about aviation, nor would I want to fly a plane, be scared to death. But I do know a couple of things. I know that when you fly something like an airplane, you've got to have enough lift and thrust to overcome the natural gravitational load and drag, right? And there were two that had some lift and thrust, Joshua and Caleb. They said, we can, let's go. And later they revealed where their confidence came from. The Lord will be with us. That same promise of His presence, the lift. And the thrust is going forward. You've got to go forward. Okay, I don't know how helicopters work. I can't explain that. But this is how an airplane gets off the ground. Load and drag. That's the other spy saying we can't. They're like Eeyore, okay? And Joshua and Caleb were more like Tigger, but not quite that, okay, not quite that much caffeine. And the lift and thrust has to overcome the load and drag. Can churches fly? Can churches soar? It's going to take lift and thrust to overcome the load and drag. We all have doubts. We all have times where we feel discouraged. But it takes, as Jim mentioned this morning, one person sometimes can make all the difference. A David stepping out onto the battlefield, overcoming 40 days of futility where Israel was making no progress, but David steps out and throws that rock, slings that rock, and now the enemy flees, and now Israel can take the territory. Jonathan, one man. That's why David and Jonathan were such close friends. They both knew that one person could make a monumental difference in the hands of God, with faith in God. Go boldly. Paul said, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Timidity. Do you know what intimidation is? It's where somebody's trying to make you timid. The world intimidates. Just try tweeting something that people don't like or that's not politically correct and watch the pile on. And then people talk about bullying. Hello? That seems like bullying to me. So if something doesn't agree with you, you pile on. Because people think that if you pile on to truth enough, and I'm not saying everything tweeted is truth. Oh my, no. But I'm saying when truth is upheld and people pile on and say, no, 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 will not, cannot, they're trying to make it go away. Ventura Church of Christ exists to make sure it never goes away. Because Jesus Christ came filled with grace and truth, and he has poured it into us. And the world will never get the grace of Christ until they have the truth of Christ. That brings us to our next point. One more time. And the next time you stand after this, you know what that will be for. Okay, a little longer passage. Let's read. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You may be seated. Go by the book. Go by the book. Oh, I know. There are fewer notions that are less popular than that one, even among Christians. Go by the book. We need truth. Be strong and very courageous, being careful to do. See, I think we're careless sometimes. Sometimes our approach to God's word is, well, God didn't exactly say I can't do that. He never said anything about pot. Marijuana. We start playing that game. What we're actually doing is we're looking for loopholes to live the way we want, instead of looking for the truths and the principles by which we walk with God and do His will. Be careful. Now, I'm not saying that we're so careful that we never do anything. Oh, no, we got to be more careful. It means to pay attention to what He says and to take care and deliberate. You know, there's a place for random acts of kindness, but I will tell you, nothing Jesus did was random. He came to earth and planned that life out. And His Father had a plan for Him that He was checking off the list. Okay, we've got to do this. This is to fulfill all righteousness. And now it's time to do this, and then I've got to fulfill my purpose. There's a cup to drink of. I've got to drink of it. He knew why He was here. He knew what He was going to accomplish. He said, I must go to the other towns of Judea, for that is why I was sent. He knew what He was here for. Deliberate. He was careful to do according to all the law. Some people say, well, I just don't know. What would Jesus do? And we postulate and think, I wonder what. There are situations where we do have to ask such questions. But folks, most of the time, God's will is very clear. We know what to do because God has told us. If we will pay attention and have a heart to love Him enough to obey Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's the test of love. Now, can you robotically check off and do the things that God wants you to do and not love Him in your heart? Yes. But you can't love Him in your heart without doing what He asks, because that is not love. It is not love. That's a feeling. But the true love of God is more than a feeling. It's devotion and commitment and connection. Be careful to do according to. And if you notice, to have this success, we can't turn from it to the right or the left. And if we want to have this success, and notice what it says, this book of the law shall not depart from where? Your mouth. Your mouth, what? I thought we were supposed to walk it and not talk it. I thought it was said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Well, let me tell you today, it's necessary. Because faith cometh by seeing a good example. Is that what the word says? Faith cometh by keeping your yard trim so your neighbors will know that you're a good person. Faith cometh by treating their pets just as you would treat your own and babysitting them when asked. Those are good things. But faith comes not by seeing, but what? Tell me. Hearing the Word of God. Have we forgotten that? Somewhere along the line, we've got to use words. And for a leader, the leader needs to have the words of God in his mouth at all times. When somebody asks a leader, hey, I need some guidance here, Mr. Elder, sir, I need some guidance. This, nobody knows everything in it. We don't always know where to go precisely, but pray and speak God's word. Don't just postulate and opinionate, because souls are at stake. I tremble when somebody asks, Rich, what do I do about this? When I know they need God's word on it, not mine. And that's why the Bible says, always be prepared to give an answer. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. Do not let the word depart from your mouth. Parents, to lead your children, do you ever read them this? Or, God forbid, quote and have scripture in your mouth? Do you know how you have it in your mouth? You got to keep reading if you want to know how to get it in your mouth. If you want success, the word of God needs to be something you speak about. Not that you, see, the world says, you guys worship God in your little building and just keep it among yourselves. And guess what? We usually say, okay, not good. This word cannot be contained. Must not be contained. Must break. These walls are not here to contain us. This is our huddle. The game's out there. We're coming here to get on the same page. Ready, break, and then we go. Sorry, a lot of football analogies in an SEC town, but that is the truth. God said, faith comes by hearing. And now, keep God's word. So how do we do that? Keep it on your mind. Meditate on it day and night. See, sometimes what happens is we'll read a scripture and then we'll kind of forget about it. Like James 1, 25 tells us. He goes his way, he forgets what kind of person he was. That's a hearer, but not a doer. We've got to focus on God's word and meditate on it. In Psalm 1, it says that the difference between a person of God and the person of the world is that he doesn't accept the values and the views and the judgments of the world, but rather his delight is in the law of the Lord, Psalm 1. And in his law he meditates day and night. And guess what? He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also does not wither. And wait for it. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The promise of Joshua 1, verse 9. Whatever he does, he prospers. So we've got to have it in our minds if we're going to have it in our mouths. But the bottom line is we've got to be careful to do. It's got to be in our lives, right? We can have it up here and we can have it here coming out. But unless we're congruent in our lives, people aren't going to buy it, are they? Now, if you know me long enough, probably by the end of the potluck day, you will know that there are incongruities in me that I'm not proud of, that I'm still working on. But the direction of my life is Godward and forward. We've got to make our direction. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, doesn't say a person will never make a mistake. It's saying the direction of his life is no longer toward the world, no longer toward sin, but forward and toward God. Walking in the light of his knowledge, of his love, of his grace. Keep God's word on your mind so it'll be in your mouth and you'll be living it out in your life. Okay. So there it is. Go forward, go with God, go boldly, and go by the book. And remember, that was Joshua's commission. This is ours. Okay, I'm not going to make you stand, but please listen to the important final words of Jesus during his ministry on earth before he ascended. Jesus said to them, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey," you hear similarities there? "Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," or the end of the world. I want to read you from Joshua because we didn't read the ending. Did Joshua do this? This is my question. Okay, Joshua, did you do what God asked you? And did it work? Did God give you the result he promised? Now listen, this is Joshua, if you want to look it up. Joshua 11 and verse 15. It says, "Just as the Lord had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. And so Joshua did." Get that? God commanded it to Moses, Moses to Joshua, and Joshua did it. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Man, at the end of a day, would I like to be able to go to bed and say, "I've accomplished all that I could and all that I was supposed to accomplish"? I haven't done that yet. But if we will follow God's prescription, okay. And then what happens? Verse 16. "So Joshua took all that land. Verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal allotments. Oh, and another blessing. Because part of prosperity is peace. Don't those two words go together? And the land had rest from war. The world is at war. It's at war against God. And being for God, the world will not have rest until it is at peace with God. You're saying, well, Brother Howell, I ain't seeing that in the near future. Yeah, I hear you there, but that's the point is our rest is still out there. The battle is on. Game on. Game on, church, right? Game on. Now, I want to tell you one difference between Joshua's commission and ours, very important. Our formula is the same. Go, 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 go. And the promise of his presence is there. And the importance of doing this by the book and using Jesus' words and teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded us and keep passing that on. That's what perpetuates the church and the kingdom of God. But remember this, Joshua was sent to take the land for Israel, and people were the obstacle. We are commanded to take the world for Jesus, and people are the objective. We're not trying to take them out. We're trying to bring them in. Amen? It's a different perspective. It's still conquest, however. Okay, lot said, and I probably gave you two lessons worth right there. But there is an even more important transition. I will tell you, there's a lot going on today. With the Oliver family, hey, the Howells are here, yay. We got a potluck, that's always important. But the most important transition of all is not Ventura Church of Christ transitioning to a new minister, whoever that may be. Nor is it the Howell family transitioning to a new congregation, whatever or wherever that may be. The most important transition we look at today is the life of each one of us. Have we come across the river to take the salvation and the grace that God has promised through Jesus Christ? That is the most important transition anyone can ever make. And if anybody's on the other side and still needs to cross over, we've looked at Jesus' commission to make disciples, to baptize. When you believe in Jesus Christ and you're ready to turn away from the world and turn to him, you're ready to name that name, calling on the name of the Lord, and ready to be washed from your sins and given the strength and the power and the Holy Spirit, the download from heaven, to be able to enable us to live the life that he calls us to live. If you have a need to do that, I will tell you, I don't care about the food right now. I'll stop everything, and our elders here and deacons gladly, and every person here would gladly stop everything. We can warm up the chicken again. But your soul, if it's at stake, and this is the time you need to cross over, okay, don't take that lightly. This is your opportunity. And we don't know. I cannot guarantee you one more of these. I can't. I can't guarantee you tonight's devotional either. I can only guarantee you that right now, God still conducts people across from being lost to being saved, from being dead to being alive, from being guilty of sin to being forgiven, from being sinners to being saints, from being hell-bound to being heaven-bound. He still receives people to the other side safely. And if you have never made that commitment, we would rejoice to facilitate you in that. If you've made that commitment and you step back, you said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's make a bigger mistake. They wouldn't go with God, and then they said, let's go back to Egypt. Wow. Don't. There's no going back. You can't go back to the world because you'll receive the fate of the world. The world passes away in all of its desires, but those who do the will of God abide forever. If we can help you today, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. Come forward, indicate, and we'll have somebody tend to you and tend to your spiritual needs. And we will all gladly wait for you as you reach out to Jesus Christ. Please come if you need to as we stand and sing.